Next up, we have Katie Waymire. Katie advises oil and gas exploration and production companies in oil and gas acquisition, sales, leasing and operations, title examination and due diligence. She also advises landowners and energy companies regarding lease and land management issues. She's board certified in oil and gas mineral law and is a managing shareholder at Santoyo Waymire, who you heard from Paul earlier today. She's also our current chair of the Oil, Gas, and Energy Resources Law section of the State Bar and has served as the past chairman of the San Antonio Bar Association. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you so much, Kelly. And thank you to the council of the section and UTCLE for having me here today. As Kelly said, they've asked me to talk to you today about pooling in Texas. And so you're all very familiar with pooling in Texas. It's been a big part of the history of oil and gas development in Texas. Bill Hayinga talked earlier today about PSA wells and allocation wells, and so it is true that pooling today isn't quite as critical as it used to be for developing minerals in Texas, but it's still a very important topic. It's been a critical component to getting minerals developed efficiently in the state in the past century. And one of the things that makes Texas different than other states that have significant mineral development is that, unlike other states, Texas hasn't been able to rely on a comprehensive compulsory or forced pooling statute. It is true that Texas does have the Mineral Interest Pooling Act, which was enacted in 1965, but that statute isn't a comprehensive forced pooling statute, and in fact has just typically been used to encourage voluntary pooling rather than to actually be a mechanism by which operators can force pool other interest owners. The Mineral Interest Pooling Act is being used more and more these days. And again, like I said, PSA, production sharing wells, and allocation wells are being used more today. But if you're talking about pooling rather than the Mineral Interest Pooling Act, voluntary pooling is typically what you're going to be using. That is the method by which the vast majority of pooled units are formed, formed in Texas. So today, this presentation is going to cover fundamental aspects of pooling in Texas, what pooling is, how it's achieved, when it's used, and let me see here. Okay, so first, I wanted to cover just very basically what pooling is. And so at its most basic, pooling is just taking one or more tracts of land or one or more leases and combining them together into a single unit for development purposes. And pooling does have a lot of consequences, and we'll talk more about the consequences of pooling as the presentation goes on, but it has two pretty fundamental consequences. The first of which is that operations anywhere on the pooled unit are treated as if they're operations on all tracts that have been included in the pooled unit. And so we'll refine that concept a little bit more, but that's a very significant consequence of forming a pooled unit. And the second sort of most basic consequence of forming a pooled unit is that production from the unit is allocated between pooled tracts and the owners thereof, typically on a surface acreage allocation basis. It doesn't have to be surface acreage allocation. There are pooled units that do use other methods of allocation, for instance, like the length of the wellbore allocation, similar to an allocation well. But the vast, vast majority of pooled units in Texas use a surface acreage allocation. Okay, so I'm just going to do a little example to compare and contrast a non-pooling situation to a pooling situation. So here are two leases, lease A and lease B. They're contiguous to one another, but they're not pooled to one, with one another. The operator of lease A drills a well on lease A. It's a vertical well. So the consequence of drilling a vertical well on lease A, which is not pooled with lease B, is, of course, that lease A has 100% of production from the well, and the operations that take place by drilling the well are operations for purposes of lease A, for lease A's maintenance and perpetuation. On the other hand, of course, lease B doesn't get any production from the well, and those operations to drill the well are not operations for purposes of lease B. Those operations are not going to maintain lease B in force and effect. Okay, so let's, oh, that's a vertical well, by the way. So a horizontal, I do want to touch on a horizontal well that crosses both lease A and lease B would have a different effect.